Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am joined by the great Carmen Vitale. You can find her on Twitter at Carmi V. Carmen, it is great to have you back. How the heck have you been?
Great. Very busy, but all good things. And I'm honestly incredibly impressed with this entire division. I said it was going to be the toughest division in football this year, but even I didn't have any inkling that it was going to be this insane.
You didn't think the top four teams in point differential were all going to be in the NFC North by the end of week six? Like, it is beyond insane. We'll get to that because that's going to be a big topic for today, because this division is stacked. It is ridiculous. It is unbelievable. More importantly, it's really, really fun. And we are just getting into some of these matchups, including obviously Minnesota and Detroit this week, which is going to be a ton of fun. I want to start from a non-NFC North standpoint, though, at least mostly. There's a little bit of an inkling of an NFC North part of this, but who doesn't love trades? Like, there's no better Q rating in the entire world than when something pops up that's there's been a trade. Like, immediately, whether it's NBA, NFL, WNBA, it doesn't even matter. There's a trade, something good has happened. So it is a very fun week of NFL trades. We had Devontae Adams go to the Jets, Amari Cooper to the Bills, Cam Akers to the Vikings. Let's start with the big one. Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams reunited in New York. What were your thoughts on that trade, other than this was very obvious?
That was something that I tapped as being probably the most realistic scenario. But it's incredible how trades heal hamstring injuries.
Yes,
that's the big thing to me. Like, medical miracle, even at his age, Devontae Adams, man, like, what's he doing? I need to be doing whatever stretches he's doing, because he bounced back from that.
And to be fair, though, if you had torn your ACL and Fox Sports called and said, we can heal it, but we have to trade you to the Jets, would you take that deal? I don't know if I would take that. I'm just kidding.
I don't know if I would take that deal, to be quite honest, even as the one who has torn her ACL before and had to go through all of that.
No fun.
That was the only thing that kind of was a holdup for me, was how viable is this for the long term? And is this really just a 1 year, like, rest of the season rental? Do they think that they can be successful enough that Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers want to stick around for another year? The odds are still just stacked against them when it comes to not having a head coach or making the head coaching change. I know that the Raiders made the playoffs, but John Gruden, like, resigned. Like, it was not a head coach firing. It wasn't that sort of scenario. It's a completely different dynamic as a result. We're going to see, they're going to have to do what really hasn't been done before. And, but I guess, you know, we know that Aaron Rodgers loves throwing to his most trusted and familiar targets. Although Garrett Wilson did get 10 targets this last game, converted 8 of them. So great. But Alan Lazard also led the team in yardage totals last game against Buffalo. Thanks in large part to that Hail Mary catch. But I'm going to be very interested to see how much Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers are going to be able to hit the ground running, given that, you know, they haven't played together in a couple of years, but they're also more familiar with each other than anyone.
Not going to lie, may or may not have won my fantasy matchup with Tom Grassi this week based on the Alan Lazard Hail Mary. I was expected to have James Cook in that game, and then at the very last second, he, of course, was deactivated.
Right.
Was crashed, and the only person I could put in there was Alan Lazard. So I'm like, all right, Alan Lazard. And literally the Hail Mary won me the game. So that's, I will take so that funny play. But yeah, it is a very interesting dynamic in New York. You know, just kind of to see what happens the remainder of the season, because I think, you know, if you are, from a Packers standpoint, or just even an NFL standpoint, if you are a Aaron Rodgers fan and you are excited to see what he can do the remainder of the season, well, then getting him back with, like you said, one of his most trusted targets of all time, if not his most trusted target, he and Jordy in the same vicinity there, but getting them back together and what they can do, that's great content. Like, that's great for the NFL. They've got, you know, primetime game coming up. I'm excited to watch Devontae and Aaron play together again. If you are a Aaron Rodgers hater and you're like, you know what? I'm ready for this to be done. You are watching a potential train wreck happen in real time with the Jets in 2-4. You have the ability to cheer against them. Yes. And if you're just in between where you're like, you know what? I want good storylines. I want good football. I don't really have a horse in the fight one way or the other. Again, mm-hmm. seeing Devontae and Aaron together, and can they pull out of this 2-4 situation where they just fired their head coach? The Jets are all the way in and they need to do something. Otherwise, everyone's going to be gone in New York next year. Mm-hmm. Like, this is great for the NFL. I am, no matter where you come down on it, I'm excited to see how this plays out the remainder of the year.
Agreed. It's still the most topical thing. It's the most interesting thing, which doesn't, you know, have a negative or a positive connotation. It's just flat out interesting. Can they do it? Given all of, you know, just the expectations coming into the season and yeah, like where the Jets are as an organization and how starved for postseason success they are and how much they went all in to get Aaron Rodgers to hopefully be the one that leads them to the postseason finally. It's a massive market and there's all of those dynamics in there too. So I'm very interested to see how it ends up playing out. And yeah. I think everybody else is too.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun the remainder of the season, one way or the other. We'll spend a little bit of less time on the other two, but Amari Cooper to the Bills. This is another interesting one where Cooper has not exactly had a great year to start with the Cleveland Browns, but there's a lot of circumstances there with what's going on with Deshaun Watson and everything else. Meanwhile, the Bills, you can tell, need that playmaker on the outside. This should be a good match, but this is another interesting one.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that the Bills were successful offensively without having, you know, a go-to receiver for Josh Allen, I think speaks to how good Josh Allen is as a quarterback, how much he can elevate the team around him, to the point that getting an Amari Cooper is kind of like a luxury for the Bills, because I think they would have been fine either way. And now that you have added that veteran presence to a very young wideout room, I think it's only going to elevate. And I'm really, really excited to see what Josh Allen can now do with Amari Cooper and just how much that divvies up the attention that defenses have to pay to Josh Allen's various weapons. And then, I mean, hopefully you get James Cook back. And then this just becomes a really well-rounded offense that's going to be really tough to contend with. And I think, you know, the Bills did not take the step back that we anticipated that they were going to. And now they're just elevating that much further. They're not standing pat, which I think really speaks to, you know, the team building structure there and just the general manager, head coach working in tandem and them just not being satisfied and being like, listen, this is going to be our year. And I'm really excited just to see what it looks like. But yeah, I thought that was a really good move by the Bills.
Yeah, I'm a big Amari Cooper guy. And you got to think, going from the Browns to the Bills and going from, you know, you're not going anywhere to you've got a chance to win a Super Bowl. I think that's going to bring the best out of Amari Cooper. And I think, you know, I'm very excited to see exactly what he is capable of in that offense, because I think we're going to see a different Amari Cooper than we did in Cleveland. And last but not least, we had Cam Akers go to the Vikings.
Back to the Vikings.
Yeah, back to the Vikings. Yeah, the interesting situation there. But from Houston, who Green Bay plays this week, so they will not see Cam Akers, to Minnesota, who they will see later in the year. So it's a one-for-one trade for Green Bay, but an interesting move for Houston. Obviously, they have the depth at running back to make this move. I actually thought Akers was looking pretty good in preseason and in the regular season so far when getting opportunities for Houston. So a little bit of Aaron Jones depth here.
Yeah, I also think it's just, you know, kind of a change-up situation where you're going to run an Aaron Jones, and he's fully capable of catching passes out of the backfield we've seen and of running between the tackles. He's a do-it-all back, and he prides himself on that. We know that. But I do think that there is an opportunity for someone to come in on third downs or just to be that changeup for this Vikings offense to add a little bit more of a dimension to them and then see what – it's going to be very interesting to see what Cam Akers can do in pass pro as well. When you look at the weapons that Sam Darnold has, they should be getting TJ Hawkinson back. That's going to add, you know, more dimensions to this offense. And I think that was something that was important to Kevin O'Connell. Kevin O'Connell really likes Cam Akers, clearly. So I think that they're just trying to, again, keep elevating themselves because they do want to be taken seriously as a real contender. And I don't think that there's an argument against that at this point.
No, I don't think so either. I think it makes sense. And again, Houston had the depth, Minnesota had a little bit of a need there, and it makes sense for both teams. So it'd be kind of interesting to see just how that plays out and what kind of role Akers plays with Minnesota's offense. I asked you these three and wanted to go over these three more importantly so we could get to this final question. Part of the trades here is, who's next? What team is going to go out and trade for someone? What player could be on the block? Because we're not even to the really remotely close to the trade deadline yet. We've already had some pretty significant moves. So who's next on the trade block, Carmen?
Yeah, I'm really interested to see if the Chiefs end up making a move. And it's really interesting because I think the rest of the league is conspiring, but not conspiring, because like they don't want the Chiefs to three-peat. They don't want to give the Chiefs any more ammo, but the Chiefs are in need of another receiver. And I know, I am not going to pretend like last year did not happen when we all thought they were in a down year. They did not have receivers, and yet they still won the Super Bowl. So I don't think they necessarily need to make a move, even with Rashee Rice not out there. But I do think that it would help. And if there are some guys being made available, I would hope that the Raiders would do Max Crosby a solid. I don't think they're going to, because he is such a franchise cornerstone, but I would love to see Max Crosby go somewhere that has like Detroit, who, you know, I got,
don't say it. No, Detroit.
I know I got in trouble with people. But I mean, from an objective standpoint, I mean, losing Aiden Hutchinson is such a huge blow to that Detroit Lions defense. He was the glue keeping that unit together in more than one way, not just on the field, but he's a tremendous leader in the locker room, all that kind of stuff. I shudder to think what the Detroit defensive line could be with Max Crosby on it. But I also look at, you know, something I actually just talked about with Trevor Sikkema on our PFF show was in Carolina. J.C. Horn has been doing really well this season. And he, you know, he's gone through his injury issues, and you don't really know, like, he's still on his rookie contract. So I think he's very valuable to a team that needs corner help. And is Carolina going to want to hold on to him when they're going to have to pay him within the next couple of years? And it's been kind of up and down during his Panthers career. They obviously don't have a shot at contending this year. So do they just kind of become sellers at the deadline? And does that include J.C. Horn? I think that that's kind of a name to watch as well. And I think that'd be a really interesting move for the Panthers to make. If they're already going to be building for the future, pick up some draft capital when J.C. Horn's stock is really high. And then, you know, use that in the future when you're going to have a really high draft pick already. And then to you know, handcuff that with another first round pick, I think would be a great move by the Carolina Panthers. So guys like that, I'm kind of looking at, I think it's wishful thinking with Max Crosby, even if it's not to the Lions, it could be, I mean, Atlanta has an anemic pass rush right now. They're just awful. They could really use a guy like Max Crosby, and they are in contention for that NFC South division. So I would just love to go. I would love for Max Crosby to go somewhere where he's not only needed, but has a chance at contending.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing these next few weeks is going to see which teams maybe stack some losses together, even on maybe top of where they are now, to the point where they're very clear and obvious sellers and are starting to look forward to 2025 a little bit more. Like you said, Carolina, we know it's pretty much going to be in that conversation, but if maybe a couple other teams get in that as well, does it open up more possible trades as we get closer and closer to the deadline? And then injuries are going to play a factor as well. You mentioned Aiden Hutchinson and the devastating injury that is for Detroit. They're a Super Bowl contending team that just lost one of their best players. Like, they're going to have to go out and supplement that in some way, shape, or form. They already lost Marcus Davenport for the year. Like, they're going to have to go hunting for an edge rusher. And what other injuries could potentially take place with some of these top teams? Rashee Rice, again, you mentioned that one as well. Like, those are the things that open up for a contending team where you're like, well, we thought we had that position covered. Now we don't. Now we got to go make a move. Couple that with teams that, again, maybe lose these next few weeks and are all of a sudden, you know, 1-7, 1-8, whatever it might be. That's going to open up some of those trade possibilities. And I think we're going to even see more movement over the course of the next couple weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. It is wild that we've had this much activity already this soon. And is that a precursor, or is that a nod to what is about to happen once the trade deadline actually comes up, which, like you said, isn't for another couple of weeks.
It's going to be fun to watch. Trades are the best. Yep. I love them. Sign me up for more. I'm ready. I'm ready for more trades as we get just nobody to Detroit, Minnesota. We're good there. And, you know, outside of that, I'm cool with trades. All right. We talked about the Aiden Hutchinson injury. There was a lot though that happened outside of that in week six. Let's start with the Packers blowing out the Arizona Cardinals. What were your key takeaways from Green Bay's win there? Hey friends, week six is officially in the books. And can we just talk for a second about how ridiculous the NFC North is? What an absolute tear this division is on. Three more wins this week. Detroit, Green Bay, Chicago, all pickup wins. Of course, Minnesota had to buy. that's not the only winning that's going on. You need to be doing your winning over at Prize Picks. And Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. And you can join over 10 million users who are already signed up. And when you do sign up, you get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the bonus. It is guaranteed. So make your picks in less than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks. This week, I'm sticking with the NFC North. I'm going with Amon-Ra St. Brown versus Minnesota. I'm going with Justin Jefferson against Detroit. And of course, I'm going with Josh Jacobs against Houston. There are plenty of options to choose from, but just remember, whoever you choose, you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code Packaday to get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's code Packaday on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. Prize Picks. Run your game. What's going on, everybody? I am so insanely happy that football is back. And as excited as I am right now, I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am to be back at Lambeau Field. And this year, I'm going to be taking my oldest son to his first ever regular season game. And that moment is going to mean so much to me. Thankfully, as I search for tickets to the game, Game Time has a brand new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. I'm actually scrolling through Game Time right now as we speak, and there are two tickets exactly in the section where I want, and it's currently listed as one of their amazing deals. Section 137, two tickets, and it's just so insanely easy to navigate and find amazing seats at the best prices, plus have the exact view of the seats you're purchasing. I can see them right now. And my absolute favorite part, Game Time has the lowest price guarantee. You'll get the lowest price to the game, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code Packaday for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code Packaday, P-A-C-K-A-D-A-Y, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
Yeah, again, it's just, this is what you get when most of your offense and your offensive weapons are healthy. And that's a testament to Jordan Love spreading the ball out. I think the team rallied around Romeo Doubs, and I'm not sure what that situation really ended up being, but it definitely seems like this team is playing together and has his back, which is something you always want to see. But again, it comes down to the sheer amount of weapons and options that Jordan Love has. I mean, he completed a pass to, I believe it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, nine receivers in this game. And when you're a defense going against something like that, you cannot possibly account for every single guy on every single play. And Jordan Love is comfortable enough in this offense. He's comfortable enough with the guys that he has around him that he is able to very quickly identify who is in those advantageous matchups, who is, you know, one-on-one with the rookie corner or whoever it is that they're going against. It's just very obvious that Jordan Love has the command of this offense. And this was kind of like the get right game of, no, I'm fully healthy now, or I feel really good. You saw him throw for four touchdowns. That's exactly what you wanted to see out of Jordan Love. And I think it's going to continue along that streak now that he's getting back to 100%. I think we talked about it last week where, as much as these guys like to downplay their injuries and as much as it could be even fully healed, there's a mental component to trusting yourself again and to getting back to playing your game at 100% comfort level. And a lot of times these injuries that they're playing on, quite frankly, aren't all the way healed, but it's safe enough for them to play on them. So they're playing through some pain. They're playing through some discomfort. They're, again, playing the mental game with themselves of how much they trust their body. And then that just leads to, you know, struggling a little bit, if you even want to call it that. And now I think that you can see that Jordan Love is 100% comfortable, not only with his offense, but with himself. And that was great. I think Packers fans, they want to see a little bit more when it comes to the defense and being able to get pressure. They were a little bit better about that this last game. But that needs to be consistent, right? And stay, especially when you don't have Xavier McKinney taking the ball away every. I was so sad that he didn't get the record. But I mean, tying for the NFL record, I guess we'll have to do. And I don't think that we've seen the last of his takeaways, obviously. But you don't want to have to always rely on Xavier McKinney taking the ball away. You need to get some pressure up front and make these other quarterbacks uncomfortable. So we'll see.
And more pressure leads to more takeaways and maybe more Xavier McKinney interceptions. So he's just going to have to start a new streak this week. There's no major problem in that, I guess. But this defense still found a way to take the ball away three times. One was a little bit of a nice bounce going your way, but the other two were certainly ones where you forced the ball out in Carl Brooks and Evan Williams. So hopefully that can continue. And I think this is the vision for the Packers offense, right? Like, this is what we all imagined. You've got this beautiful Matt LaFleur scheme with all these different weapons that could go any place at any time. Man knows exactly how to get them in advantageous spots. And then you've got a quarterback that can execute it at a high level. And I thought Jordan in this one really was focused on getting the ball out in the hands of his playmakers and then making those big plays only when he needed to and or only when it was available and not trying to do too much. I thought that was the formula they used to great success a season ago. This was the first game I thought it really came out this year. And I think now it's just going to hopefully be set it and forget it for the rest of this year.
Yep.
Let's get to the next game, the Chicago Bears. And I guess theoretically it was before because it was the London game. But either way, the Chicago Bears blasting the Jacksonville Jaguars and their matchup. And Cole Kmet doing a little bit of everything. Caleb Williams continues to look better and better. Keenan Allen's getting a couple touchdowns. Like, this Bears team, I know it's maybe not the greatest opponents in the world. You could say the same thing about the Green Bay Packers and their wins. But they are doing what they're supposed to do against these teams. And they're now picking up some wins consistently.
Yeah, I mean, I'm old enough to remember when the Bears didn't do the things they were supposed to do against bad teams. So I'm never going to take that for granted when it comes to Chicago. And I mean, you can't say enough about Cole Kmet coming in as a long snapper and hearing him talk about how that even came about when they were like, oh, yeah, Scott's down. And he's like, Tyler Scott, what does that have to do with me? And then he's like, oh, God, Scott Daly, shoot. All right. That means I have to, kicker's coming over like, hey, Torrey Taylor, the punter, is like, do you want to practice? And Cole's like, yeah, I want to practice. I haven't long snapped in so long.
It's amazing.
Coming in as the emerging long snapper, getting special teams player of the week, on top of catching all five targets, having two touchdowns on the game. I mean, he really literally did it all. I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback or a receiver catch a touchdown pass and then immediately line up the next snap to be the long snapper on the field on the extra point attempt. It's all just the vibes are high in Chicago. And then you had Keenan Allen too, which was this was his breakout game, 5 of 5 and two touchdowns as well. That was the last kind of remaining piece of this Bears offense that you really wanted to see get going, because, you know, going back to the Indianapolis game that they lost, that was kind of, you know, Roma Dunze's coming out party. And then you had DeAndre Swift come out in the Rams game. And you've seen Cole Kmet kind of be the safety blanket throughout this entire time. And then DJ Moore comes alive against his former team. And so it was Keenan Allen's turn, and that's what ended up happening. And that's really good news for the Bears. That's good news for Caleb Williams, who looks finally a little bit more comfortable. And this was kind of the sweet spot of the season that I had talked about prior to it starting of, this is the opportunity the Bears have to gain their footing, for Caleb Williams to gain his confidence, and to really start to stack. The fact that they've stacked some wins going into what will be the tough part of their season, which is literally the last 6 weeks of the year, that's the key to all of this. That's the key to the North being as good as it is and for having the point differentials it does. These teams haven't played each other. They haven't cannibalized each other quite yet. But this is exactly what you wanted them to do. And the fact that the Bears are doing it, and you can see Caleb Williams kind of rounding the corner. I've seen people use the word finally, and I'm like, stop it. Stop it. It's been 6 weeks. It's his first time in the NFL. Like, he is a rookie, part like operating a brand new scheme to Chicago with so many new weapons around him, including another rookie, by the way. This is a tremendous development for the Chicago Bears, and the fact that they are starting to put it all together this quickly, even if it's against some subpar competition, that cannot be taken for granted. And I am very, very happy for Ryan Poles, for Matt Eberflus. This is starting to work out, especially when you consider that this defense hit the ground running too. So it's a very complete team in Chicago.
I can't stress enough how important I think these last three games were for Chicago, because they were 1-2. Their one win against the Tennessee Titans was ugly and probably did not deserve
because the of the defense.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Very much so. If they go into that three game stretch and it goes the opposite direction somehow against the Rams, Panthers, and Jacksonville, like, they are sitting at 1-5. going into their bye week and everything looks atrocious and the schedule only gets harder. Does Matt Eberflus make it through that? Like probably, but like there's a totally different situation and connotation if this goes in the opposite direction. And yes, they obviously took care of them. And the last three games and the last two were not even close. They blasted Carolina and Jacksonville. But man, if that goes in an opposite direction, it changes everything for Chicago. And even if they go 1-2, it doesn't feel great. So the fact that they picked up all three of those wins in the last two in convincing fashion, it definitely does change the entire rest of the season for them. And again, it just continues to make this NFC North even better, which is going to make it so crazy as we get into these NFC North matchups the remainder of the year.
And
then of course we get another team blasting an NFC North team blasting another opponent. The Detroit Lions just completely crush and embarrass the Dallas Cowboys with a lot of extra eligible man and you know, hook and laterals to offensive linemen. And they were not taking that game lightly. They went for the kill and they got the kill.
It was an incredible thing to witness as, you know, someone who I talked a lot to some of these guys, especially like on their coaching staff and stuff. And that game against the Cowboys last season where Dan Skipper reports is eligible and like the ref doesn't hear him or whatever the hell happens and they lose that game. I mean, they came into this game with a vengeance. And to everybody talking about how like, well, why would you show off all of these trick plays when you're up by so much, you don't need them. Why put them on tape? This clip was specifically for the Dallas Cowboys. Yes. The Lions are, I call them the petty kings of the jungle because they are absolutely, this was designed for the Dallas Cowboys. These plays, getting offensive linemen involved, were a direct FU to the Dallas Cowboys, to the league, saying, our offensive linemen are really important to us. We're going to get him in scoring positions. Ben Johnson was just on another level, but he wanted to empty the clip because he wanted his guys to get that boost. And that's what kind of team this is. That's what kind of coaches these guys are. That's why they all believe in themselves so much. It was so fun to watch if you're a Detroit Lions fan, or maybe if you just don't like the Dallas Cowboys, which there are plenty of people who don't. But to see, you know, I mean, it's demoralizing for the Cowboys to just kind of be manhandled in the way that they were by the Detroit Lions. But rest assured, Ben Johnson will have reloaded the clip for the Minnesota Vikings this week. And I cannot wait to see what he comes up with against this Brian Flores defense. Brian Flores already said he's going to fight fire with fire. So these are two very creative play callers that are going to be clashing. And this is a game that I have been waiting for and anticipating for 2 weeks now. I've been so excited to get to this game. I can't even like control my emotions. I'm so excited for this game.
I can't believe that the Packers, Texans, and Bears, or sorry, Lions, Vikings are noon games this week at the same time.
I know they're all at the same time. It's so tragic.
It is absurd. I hate it. But
I want to watch both of them like with my full attention.
Exactly. No, I know you don't want anything else going on, and it's going to be one of those where you're trying to just kind of keep an eye on what's going on. But two phenomenal games and two that will definitely help shape this NFC North. There's going to be one more loss in the NFC North after this week for sure, with one of these two teams losing. Your thoughts quick on, you know, some of the key takeaways and things that you'll be watching in this Lions-Vikings matchup.
Yeah, it's specifically when I talk about like the kind of the creativity of these two play callers and Ben Johnson and Brian Flores. Brian Flores does so much with his defensive fronts. And so I think it's really going to come down to how much this Lions offensive line, which is one of the best offensive lines in football, can contend with all of the different things that these guys do between the stunts and the simulated pressures and then the bringing the different kinds of pressures from different levels. You really never know who's coming, who's not. And it's really unfair to put those reads on the quarterback. As experienced as Jared Goff is, the looks that this Minnesota Vikings defense presents to you pre-snap versus what they actually do post-snap is so drastically different. And that's why you've seen all of these quarterbacks, as experienced as they are, in like guys like Aaron Rodgers throwing three picks, including his fifth pick six of his 20-year career. Like, that is why that happens, because they cannot trust what they're seeing pre-snap, because Brian Flores just changes it up so drastically. He bends our notions of what traditional defensive roles are. I mean, like, he's having 35-year-old Harrison Smith start at the line of scrimmage and then book it back to cover the deep half. He's asking corners to cover deep halves. He's doing all of this crazy stuff, even on the back end. But on the front end, it's entirely up to the offensive line to be able to pick up and stay very sound when it comes to their assignments. Because, again, this front is going to mix it up on you. And whoever that guy is, even if that guy ends up being a nickel corner coming in your gap, you're going to have to be the one responsible for him and making sure that you're not losing him. You're looking for work, all of that kind of stuff, adjusting in real time to give Jared Goff the time he needs to execute this offense to the full breadth of its capability, which I think includes a lot of, is going to include a lot of Jahmyr Gibbs in particular because of the chess piece that he can be. He can catch passes out of the backfield. He can be a runner. You've got David Montgomery as, you know, kind of the bowling ball north-south guy, but you're going to need to get Jahmyr Gibbs into space. You're going to need to very creatively kind of move him around in order to prevent Brian Flores' defense being able to key in on him. I think Sam Laporta is going to be especially important in this game as well for the Detroit Lions, but in order for this all to work, the line has to hold, and that's like the biggest thing I think this game is going to come down to.
Not going to lie, because when there's usually two NFC North teams going against each other, not named Green Bay, I don't usually have a ton of interest because I'm like, I just want both teams to lose. I have no rooting interest in any of the other team. How can you both lose? But this is definitely one of those where I'm like, I want to watch the all 22 of this. I want to see how Ben Johnson goes against, like, I want to watch every aspect of this. This is a really, really fun game. And again, disappointed that live it's at the same time as Green Bay, but I'm going to be enjoying the clips of this one for a while. And we see some of these just different concepts that Flores and Johnson are going against each other. It's one of the really fun matchups that I think we're going to see this year. Then of course we get Packers Texans too. We get CJ Stroud, Jordan Love. There is so much talent on the field at all times for these two teams. What are you watching for in this one?
Yeah, it's definitely, again, kind of comes down to the trenches for me, just how this Packers O-line holds up against two of the best edge defenders in the league. I think Houston has the best edge tandem in the league, given that they have Tenille Hunter and as just only part of that. And then you have Will Anderson on the other side. So how do Zach Tom and Rashid Walker kind of contend with that? How does this offensive line in general contend with those guys? That's going to be, I think, key to keeping Jordan Love clean and keeping him trusting himself and staying healthy and being able to get the ball out to his myriad receivers, because I think that's really the only way to contend with Green Bay right now is to get to the quarterback, because it's just not possible to account, again, like we were talking about, for every single receiving option that they have between tight ends and running backs and receivers. It's just, there's so many different guys on the field that Jordan Love is fully comfortable and has full trust in that you just have to prevent the ball from coming out, period. And what's really interesting too is how well that the Texans are doing against the run as well. So how effective can Josh Jacobs be in opening up this offense against a Texans defense that is still really sound against the run as well. So looking forward to that. Like you said, really mad that it's on at the same time as Lions Vikings.
Yes, but I agree with you. I think that edge rusher battle against Zach Tom and Rashid Walker is going to be another one that you're just talking about. Awesome players on all sides. I think Rashid Walker versus whoever ends up lining up, usually that's going to be more of Danielle Hunter. I wonder if we maybe see that switched up a little bit just based on Green Bay's strengths there. But either way, I would expect Rashid Walker to get a little bit of help, maybe some chips, some Tucker Kraft lined up over on that side of the ball quite a bit. And then you get, either way, like usually what happens in these situations, especially with like a Zach Tom, is you get the person avoiding Zach Tom, like you're going to get their best edge rusher on the other side. Like this time, like they've got two of them. So we're going to get a really fun matchup with Zach Tom, one of the best pass protecting tackles, against one of these guys on almost every single pass snap, which is going to be a ton of fun. I cannot wait for these two games. But before we get out of here, I have to ask you, my favorite thing to do, I get to put you on the spot. We are about a third of the way, like a third of the way into the regular season. I want you to stack the four NFC North teams from best to worst through 6 weeks, where you think they're going to head. You can take it any way that you want, but I need a 1 through 4 of where this NFC North team stacks up, or NFC North division stacks up right now. Other than we know they're the best division. They are unbelievable. The top four teams in point differential are all in the NFC North. It is crazy. But I'm going to give you the unenviable task of stacking them 1 through 4.
Yeah, it's so hard. The only way that I conceivably can answer this is thinking forward and thinking towards the last like 6 weeks of the season when these teams all have to play each other, Because again, that's another huge reason why you have these point differentials and the record that you do in the NFC North is because they have not cannibalized each other. They will. And that's what's going to end up mattering. So like, how do these guys stack up against each other is the only way that I can really think about this.
Fair enough.
And even then, it's really hard.
It is.
The Bears are the least tested. And I said before the season, like, whoever finishes last in this division is still going to be an 8-9-10 win team.
Yep.
And that to me is hugely, that's a huge improvement for the Chicago Bears. So I guess I'm going to say that they're probably still last in the division because they're untested. But that, like, again, that could totally change when they go against the Commanders after their bye. And if they, like, if they handle them really well, and if they handle the first part of their division schedule well, like if they beat the Green Bay Packers at home, like that's going to completely change my perception of this. But as of right now, they're just not as tested and they're young and they haven't been playing together as much. The middle is just like the Lions, I still think finish with the division crown. I do think that the Lions still win. Okay. They're just more complete. They have a lot to play for. The Aiden Hutchinson injury gives me a little bit of pause, but I also trust Aaron Glenn to kind of figure that out, whether that's bringing somebody else in or like doing something completely different. Because if you look at their defensive scheme, they just isolate Aiden Hutchinson so well and get him one-on-one matchups. So now you kind of have to go somewhere completely different. I don't know. Maybe Brian Branch gets involved.
Yeah.
I think it's like the Vikings and the Packers, but like, I think there are three playoff teams coming from this division, like almost
there could be four.
I know, like that's such a small, there's such a small chance of that happening because you need the help from other NFC teams to not finish with really good records.
Yeah.
But I think it's entirely possible. And I think it's almost a certainty though, that there are three playoff teams coming from this division. Yeah. So like, even if the Packers are third in the division, they're still making the postseason. And then, you know, all bets are off. But like, end of the regular season, Lions, Vikings, Packers, Bears. But don't get mad at me, Bears fans, because I think you're still going to have a really good season.
Yeah. I mean, it's like there's no shame in finishing fourth in this division almost right now. Like, that's how good it is. No. I do have Chicago fourth as well. And then you could pick any of the other three teams out of a hat and put them in an order. And I'm kind of with you. Like, I think you could put them almost anyway. I would have put Detroit one pretty easily. Not maybe easily, but I would have put them one until the Hutchinson injury. To me, that if you go Minnesota, Detroit in that, you know, 1-2 spot, like Minnesota getting back Hockenson and Detroit losing Hutchinson, like that might flip it a little bit there. I still don't totally trust Minnesota. I think they come back to life at some point. And I do kind of think Detroit's the better team, but there's an issue there. And I would be hard pressed right now to put Green Bay ahead of Minnesota because they played each other and Minnesota's up 28-0 in Green Bay. And and I know Jordan wasn't totally healthy in that game. So I could put any of those three at any of those three spots. And I don't think anyone should be offended by any of that because that's how good those three teams are. I'm sticking by it. The Super Bowl team in the NFC is coming out of the NFC North. So not only three playoff teams, the Super Bowl team is coming out of the NFC North. Carmen, this is awesome as always. I look forward to it every single week. Tell us where we can find all of your incredible work.
Just go to CarmiV. That's my Twitter handle or Instagram handle as well. And that's where I post all the stuff that I'm involved with. And all the different kind of things that I do throughout the week, which spans the gamut between game previews for every single game. Obviously, I do this podcast, which I love. And then I do a Chicago Bears show as well on Marquee. And then I have my radio show on Saturdays if you want to check out on Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah, make sure to check out her and Trevor Sikkema on PFF as well. That is must listen every single week. You can find her again at CarmiV on Twitter and all social media. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Packaday Podcast. That's going to do it for Carmen and I today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.